Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. Hello.
Hello. I'm glad you could all join us here today. This is now serious sports. We have been deemed too goofy for the Pokemon community.
And too goofy and bad at this game, yeah.
That wasn't what they meant. Kevin is referring to the fact that we put out a poll on YouTube and we were like, hey, do people want coaching? Because we've been like over the past couple of weeks, we've been getting a lot of messages. Like I can probably count on two hands of people who, you know, want coaching, who are asking if we still do coaching, dropping us a line on Instagram, on Patreon, on Twitter, all that stuff. But when we put it out to YouTube, it came with mixed reviews, and that's fine. But one of the comments went real hard into why. And I get it. That's cool. But I think Kevin and I, we took it very different ways.
I don't know, man. Don't judge a person by how well they do with a Medicham and a Hawlucha. That's all I got to say. We're putting ourselves at a disadvantage right from the get-go. Like
Every day. That's true. When was the last time that we really went in with like a hardcore meta team?
Day one. Regionals, where my results are.
That's fair.
Yeah. Regionals is where I bring my hardcore meta themes.
Yeah. And I think we both, this season anyway, have been doing relatively well in regionals.
Oh, absolutely. Give me an open team sheet, it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that thing.
Oh, that's a really good thing to teach, too, is just how to read open team sheets, things to look out for.
Yeah, congratulations. In a metagame where there's 18 different outcomes and 18 different types and you have no idea what's about to happen and you use Hawlucha and Medicham, yeah, probably you're not going to have a great time.
Kevin, we're talking about Pokemon today.
Talking about Pokemon.
I mean, you're not wrong. We're talking about so many things. This is serious sports, so we need to get to it. Yeah, no, don't be so surprised. Please, let's get into it. Portland regionals happened this past weekend around the exact same time as the Global Championship 3, the Global Challenge 3. I wonder how many people went from Portland back to their hotel and then played the Global Challenge.
Hopefully not everybody. Because here's the thing, like, if you guys ever play 10 rounds of Swiss, it's a funny feeling once you finish a regional, because once you're walking out that door and getting into that Uber and being like, it's time to drink the night away, I'm done with Pokemon forever. The next day, you're on Showdown making another team. This game is a drug, everybody. This is, that is what this game is.
Kevin is on one today. Going a little hard there, my friend. Portland, Oregon had 469 players, 469 Masters players. And the first thing I said when I looked at the teams and results, by the way, this was one that Kevin and I did not go to. It's very far from us. First thing I said when I looked at it was, oh my gosh, there's all the Fluttermanes. They're here.
Yeah.
Top eight. Finally, we have reached... Fluttermania is running wild.
Fluttermania is running
wild. Okay, I found the name of the episode. Thank you. Fluttermania is running wild.
That's a wrestling quote.
Thank you.
I like it. I appreciate it. Yeah,
you
that.
Got it.
That tickled me.
Yeah. 100% of the top eight had Fluttermane in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 100%. And whoever's on Victory Road, thank you so much for aligning all the Fluttermanes. It's very visually pleasing.
I love it so much. It's
a pretty good Pokemon, have you heard?
I indeed have heard that Fluttermane is a very good Pokemon. And you went a little bit further and said that not only are the top eight 100% Fluttermane, but the top, it goes as far as the top 13 And the only combo breaker is an Annihilate.
Yeah. Annihilate. Otherwise,
it would
go.
Be top 16.
Yeah. Golden Go. They had other two ghost types on their team. They couldn't fit the Flutter main there, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, listen, Mimikyu was good because of its typing, because of its ability. So they made a fast Mimikyu that is special attacking. It just makes sense. Until there's something that can outspeed Fluttermane that can also kill Fluttermane, it's going to keep being there, right? It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody has a Fluttermane answer. And if you don't have a Fluttermane answer, you absolutely should have a Fluttermane answer. But it's kind of like, no matter what you do, there is some way that Fluttermane will get around that answer, or it ends up like Amoongus, where even just having Fluttermane on team select, you don't bring it 100% of the time, but you scare people into not bringing their own Fluttermane.
I think the problem with Fluttermane is that it's so splashable. It has the Incineroar syndrome.
Yeah.
It always fits on a sixth spot. There's always space for it. You're never going to be like, gee, I really could use a special attacker here. What am I going to do? Or a Choreo? No, you're going to do Fluttermane. Because that's what makes sense.
I don't know if your two options are Fluttermane and Or a Choreo.
You really need a ghost type that floats. I don't know.
You're not wrong. But yes, we do have the top eight sitting in front of us right now. I mean, really, all we need to do is go over the five other Pokemon that some of them have, because one of them is just accounted for. Let's go in with the, should we go top eight or top four? What do we usually do?
I don't know, but something I do want to mention is that there's no Palafin in top four, and Palant is in the last two spots of top eight. So they enter top eight and they lost their first round. So thankfully, Palafin's, I don't know, I hate playing against Palants. I don't think it's great. I also don't think it's bad. It's consistent is the best way of putting it.
Well, we're gonna get into usage stats for last month a little bit later today, so before even looking at it, I know that Palants is going to be there, but it's a little surprising, I think, where the five actually do end up. Because for those who are new or haven't been keeping up very much with what's been going on in Regulation C, Palants is the name of the group of five Pokemon that have just been kind of running shop for a while. That being Fluttermane, Amoongus, Arcanine, Palafin, and Ting Lu. They've been incredibly solid for quite Super a while. Consistent. I believe there were like two tournaments in a row that was won by that.
Or at least they were seen multiple times in top eight, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're only seeing them twice in top eight, and it's at the bottom. So thankfully the meta is shifting. And I've always said this about when you have an archetype that is good stuffs and balance, it kind of lights the meta up a little bit, right?
Sure. Because
then you're just that you know the five Pokemon you have to deal with, you have to get creative with it. Because everybody and their mother will prepare for balance or Palants. So you have to maneuver around it. Like, for example, first place, Joe UX9 brought Sun. Without spoiling too much, because we'll get to Joe's team, because it's a really cool looking team. Brought Sun to deal with the Palafin. What's Palafin going to do in the Sun? A lot less than it would have done without the Sun.
I realize that, yes, we do usually go over our top four. However, I will give very special mention to Len Jewell, who went in with a sand team. This is a team I don't usually see too often. And honestly, I'm curious if Len thought that they would get this far with this, because it usually doesn't. Not saying that the team is bad, but definitely that it takes a very good player to make it good.
Incredible.
That's what the team has to be. Len came in with a Fluttermane, what's the Accelroc guy? Lycanroc. Lycanroc, Tyranitar, Iron Bundle, Garchomp, and Corviknight.
I'm looking at this team right now. The synergy is incredible.
Right?
Like, so many
it's,
of these.
Sorry, it's what?
Incredible.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Corviknight just fits here perfectly. Corviknight having the immunity to ground, and this team doesn't like ground too much because it has two rock types on it. the T-Tar setting up the sand for the Garchomp with the sand fail, and then Garchomp's actually sitting here with sub and protect. So yeah, you can really just try to take advantage of that sand veil while it's up, while you get that lucky miss that might actually change the pace of the game. Say that the opponent has to break that sub that the sub that turn, and they just miss the move. Then like you have a sub for a whole other turn that can really mess up your opponent for sure. Another thing that's interesting on this team, I'm looking at Flying Terra Iron Bundle, which allows you to lead Bundle and Garchomp together to do Icy Wind Earthquake shenanigans. That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely going to mess some people up as well.
For sure. All right. Well, that's Len's team. Very cool with the synergy. I've been really, really interested in synergistic Pokemon teams these days. And I think, like you were saying, Palance kind of has a lot to do with that, where if you have a team that's so focused on the balance of the meta and keeping one team able to deal with everything, you're going to end up with some teams that just need to have the synergy in order to pull out wins more often.
I will say this, Iron Bundle stocks are on the rise in this top eight. There was not these many Iron Bundles in the last top eight, that's for sure. And I think that is simply because Palance has three ice type weaknesses in the core. It does have common weaknesses. It has the Amoongus, the Tinglu, and technically the Palafin because of Freeze Dry.
Right.
And then Iron Bundle can also take care of the Arcanine because of Hydro Pump if you decide to hit those. So it really only leaves Fluttermane, which it outspeeds. So Iron Bundle, those stocks are high against Palance.
It outspeeds, and then it can hit with an Icy Wind, bring down the Fluttermane, make your Fluttermane go first, this, that, and the other. In fourth was Nick Navarre, Nails, who we've seen in top eight multiple times before. Yeah, very, very strong player. Yeah. Who came in with a King Gambit, Dragonite, Abomasnow, Great Tusk, Iron Bundle, and Fluttermane. Obviously, there's the Fluttermane. I feel like I don't even need to say it. But there's the Iron Bundle. Mm-hmm. There's the Great Tusk. And it's a snow team. You've got Abomasnow in there. None of these guys have Terra Ice, save for the Iron Bundle. So it's not that it's trying to capitalize on the snow or anything like that with any of the other Pokemon, but it is trying to increase the defense of Iron Bundle.
This is Iron Bundle with Choice Specs as well.
Right.
This is an Iron Bundle that goes Terra Ice, Choice Specs next to Abomasnow in the snow, doing as much damage with Blizzard as you can. On top of that, also carries Sleep Talk in case you get spored by Amoongus. The Abomasnow's carrying Leaf Storm, carrying Aurora Veil, Helping Hand even to boost the bundle even further. Mm-hmm. That's some big damage, and that's some scary damage. It's a very hyper offensive team. Another thing worth mentioning here is the Dragonite's actually carrying Aqua Jet. I'm trying to find out if there's like a weakness policy. No weakness policy to proc here. It's just carrying Aqua Jet. Priority, I guess.
It's just doing it.
Yeah, it's just carrying Aqua Jet with Facade, Extreme Speed, Outrage.
Well, sometimes you do need that non-normal type priority move. Say if you're going up against a ghost type, if you're going up against a Fluttermane, for example, that Aqua Jet, Choice Banded Aqua Jet, it would not surprise me, actually, if that can OKO a Fluttermane.
It's at least a 2-hit KO if it has a Sash, and also I think it might be 2-hit KO just because it's non-stab. But you have multi-scale, so you can hit it twice. There's not a Fluttermane in the world that can one-shot through multi-scale. Especially if you're normal Terra.
That's very true. So I am looking. You're going to have to vamp for a bit because I am looking up Dragonite versus Fluttermane because I am super curious.
Pokesports.org/DamageCalc. Exactly. Another thing cool about this team is the Choice Scarf Great Tusk is seeing a lot of usage in the current meta. That next to Dragonite's a really decent combination. We have the King Gambit, which I think is one of the best Pokemon of the game. And I'm surprised more tournaments aren't being played with King Gambit winning. Thankfully, it did win this time, I think. Yeah, Joe's a big fan of King Gambit. I think King Gambit's a cracked Pokemon. The amount of things I see in Assault Vested King Gambit live is actually ridiculous. And that, with the Fire Terra nowadays, Arcanines beware, man.
You have a 75.8 chance to 2-hit KO with an Aqua Jet from Dragonite onto Fluttermane.
With a choice band?
With a choice band.
It's not enough.
It's not enough, but it does a lot of damage.
Does more damage than Extreme Speed would.
Extreme Speed does all of it's immune. Yeah. What were you just talking about?
The team. Anyway, on to...
Cool. Let's go on to the next team. Yes, we've got Ofumezi Amel Zoan, who came in with, obviously, the Fluttermane, Great Tusk, Golden Go, Murkrow, Gyarados, and Amoongus. This team is... I feel like I've seen it for a very long time.
Murkrow's been coming back recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murkrow's found its resurgence in the meta. Mm-hmm. Don't know where it went for Series 2, but it's back here because it's now a Sunny Day setter. Sunny Day, back to sun, right? Back to stopping Palins, back to slowing down Palafin. You set the sun, you boost your Paradox Mons, you boost your Choice Specs Fluttermane, you boost your Choice Scarfed Great Tusk, and you hurt things. Right. That's it. And also you have the classic Murkrow plus Golden Go combo that we know from Series 1. Gyarados, Ting Lu can't touch Gyarados literally at all. Love that Pokemon, honestly. I think Gyarados is in a great spot as well. Running Flying Terra, Terra Blast as well.
Right.
We know how much damage.
That's the same kind of thing as the Dragonite.
Yeah. Gyarados always wanted a flying type physical move, never got it. Now it has it. And then Amoongus. We don't go over Amoongus here.
We don't go over Amoongus here. You go over Amoongus on your own time. Great Tusk is such a strong Pokemon. I love Great Tusk so much.
Three
after this
Great
weekend.
Tusks in top three. Wow.
Yeah.
Three. That's crazy.
Coming in second, we've got Ding Zishuo, who came in with a Fluttermane, Tatsugiri, Dondozo, Glimmora, Chiyu, and Iron Bundle. So finally, there's our Dondozo of the day.
Dondozo hasn't won a tour yet, though.
No,
it's crazy. It always tries. It always gets so close. It won't take it. This team is actually, I know at first glance, this might just seem like meta.jpg team, but it's interesting because it kind of has two modes, at least from what I'm seeing. Dondozo has converted from unaware to oblivious.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Dondozo has converted from unaware to oblivious. And I think that hasn't become the most popular Dondozo set, but a lot of high tier competitive players are actually deciding to switch over to oblivious, which makes it so that you're immune to gender based moves and abilities. Specifically like
taunts, intimidates.
Not taunts. Attracts, captivates, and cute charms, but also intimidate was added. Yeah.
It's also taunt.
Is it also?
Yeah.
Oh, then Mr. Pokemon Database. Oh, yeah. You gotta update yourself.
As of Gen 6, Oblivious now prevents Pokemon from being afflicted by taunt. Yeah. Okay, and then cool. Gen 8 also blocked Intimidate, which is amazing.
So the cool thing that you could do here is that you can either run the hyper offensive mode, right? You can run the power core of Fluttermane, Chiyu, Iron Bundle with an added Glimmora, or you can go with the, hey, I'm going to be absolutely annoying and make you hate your life. You go with Glimmora and a friend, probably Glimmora and Bundle. You slow them down, you get the Mortal Spin off, you set them with Toxic. Once they're Toxic, you swap in Dondozo, Tatsugiri, and you wait.
It's that easy. Looking at Glimmora, we've also got Earth Power, Energy Ball. Like, Glimmora has a lot more coverage than I think people give it credit for. Glimmora can deal with so many things that other Pokemon just cannot. You don't see, like, a grass, ground, rock, poison combination on almost anybody these days.
Just being able to turn into a grass type as well means you can't go for a ground move on it. Like, right. So... bravely, you have to consider the fact that, hey, this could just be immune to or resistant to this next turn.
Right. Ding Zishuo went up against Joe UX9, who finally has pulled one out and has won regionals
this season.
This season.
So the story with Joe is Joe has been in the finals at, including this one, three separate times in Scarlet and Violet, has gotten second place twice, and then finally taken this one with a jump bluff. Specifically with a jump bluff. Can we respect that? Man, like literally world's most consistent player, man. I don't think there's even an argument you can make about Joe UX9. And if you did, you'd be wrong. Great player, great individual.
I can't wait to see him at Worlds.
I can't wait to lose to him in the Malamar Cup. It's going to be great. We're up against each other in the playoffs, by the way, round one. Can't wait for that.
Joe came out with 200 CP and $3,000, bringing in a jump bluff, Flutterman, Torkoal, King Gambit, Great Tusk, and Chen Pao. This, interestingly, being the only Chen Pao in all of top eight.
Yeah, that actually is pretty interesting. The other cool thing about Joe's team, too, is that Torkoal there has Eject Pack, Flying
Terra. That's an Eject Pack Torkoal.
Overheat, Helping Hand, and Fissure. Listen, when it works, baby. The Joe UX9 special. You want to win? You want to stop being second place? You put Fissure on your Torkoal.
That's amazing.
And also another cool tech on this team is a Chen Pao with Flying Terra also resists the fighting type if they hit you with a fighting type move, while simultaneously being able to stand next to the Great Tusk with Choice Scarf and be next to an EQ without taking damage while reducing their attack or their defenses.
Right.
A lot of fun techs here.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Joe UX9. Amazing. The fans are going wild for that. And honestly, when it comes to... Okay, stop.
The fans
when
it don't comes shut to, up.
When it comes to bringing in interesting Pokemon for the finals, I mean, it really just goes to show...
Pokemon battles are full of surprises!
Anyway, we're moving on. That was Portland. Thank you, Portland, for being great. Let's move on now to Connecticut. Connecticut is the next big regionals that we will be going to, the next North American site on the circuit. Kevin and I are both going to be in attendance for that one. Shortly after that is Milwaukee, which again, Kevin and I will be in attendance for.
I was checking. I think it's only 1 week in between. That's crazy.
There is one empty weekend in between them. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to buy that Airbnb, aren't I? We didn't even start.
We haven't.
Uh-oh. Oops.
That's okay, I hope.
We will sleep in the gutter.
I just realized that is the case. Well, we might have to actually hotel it.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah. If it's going to be that late.
That's fine. The next 7-star Terra raid has been announced. And this time, it is Rock Terra type Chestnut.
That's not
that makes me very, very happy. Chestnut was my favorite. I want to say it was my favorite starter.
What generation was Chestnut? If it was your favorite, sir,
I don't need to know that. who's saying that I need to know that?
Take a lucky guess.
Hey, I don't even need to know. Hold on. No, I know it's Gen 6. It's Gen 6. Even without you holding up your hands, I knew.
Yeah, sure.
That's because it was X and Y, and that was very good.
You guys want to go down a trip in memory lane? Back when Mike had his own YouTube channel, was still uploading to it. His mascot was Quilladin.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Listen, dude. I thought the Quilladin was adorable. And there have been... Yours was a Wobbuffet. What are you saying? What are you saying?
Wobbuffet's cute. What's a Quilladin?
Cute.
I don't know, man. We got some weird taste, I guess.
Wow. Kevin, today.
Not holding back.
That's you. You're not holding back today. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm shocked.
Mike and his soundboard.
I love it so much.
His new toy.
I love it so much. Please, I need ideas for the soundboard. I am so bad at coming up with ideas for the soundboard.
Everyone's just going to say me laughing again.
That's fair. Yeah.
Did we have questions last week? Did you ask questions?
Of course we had questions last week. It was actually very competitively centered. I asked the question, what is the best thing about a competitive tournament?
Ooh.
Yeah. And we got a few people saying that they haven't been, like Sweet Citrus here, who says, I personally haven't been. It's a check off of my bucket list. I hope to be able to mark off soon. I would imagine it's being able to physically see and interact with the community you're a part of. And I would have to agree. That's probably the best thing is being able to interact with people.
The best thing is definitely not sitting down and playing Pokemon. That's for sure. It's the time in between.
I would say that the best feeling about playing Pokemon is not actually the feeling of playing Pokemon. It's whatever the feeling comes after. It's either the win or the loss, or when you make a good play and you win because of it.
Yeah, my favorite thing is always like in between rounds, we just have that meeting spot. We're just like, then you just either complain or you explain what happened.
Yeah, Orlando was the top of the escalator for us at the end of every game. It was like too awkward to even talk about the game like inside the convention or inside the main hall. So like when we both would win, we'd meet up. We're like to the spot and then we go. And then by the time we got there, then we start talking about it.
Yeah, we just accidentally made a spot. The same thing happened in Charlotte, too. We just made a spot.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like except that. The spot was a lot bigger. It was like nearly 20, 25 people that all went to the same spot. We just all knew where to go. but yeah, I feel like after the round is over, a lot of people just like leave the convention center. It's nice to get a breath, though, because the convention center is loud. It's rowdy. It's cold. Just step outside, get some fresh air, be in the hall. To the point where they tried to like move us out of the way because I guess we were too close to the escalators. We just ended up going back. They couldn't stop us twice.
See, I'm the Canadian. If they asked me not to do it, I'd be like, yeah, all right, sorry, let's just. And we ended up doing that. We ended up pushing further toward the wall. Anyway, Seabass McChops says going 1-3 drop and having the rest of the day to yourself. And that is very much like what you were saying there, where people just kind of leave after they're done. And I like it. I like the idea of just like leaving and going places, but I feel like, well, for us anyway, we know a lot of people who will inevitably kind of make it pretty far. So when you have friends who are doing quite well at the game and you want to, you know, stick around and support them, even though you lost 1-3 and you decided to drop because you were too sad to continue. There's always that like, oh, I need to hang around and just help out. Need to hang around and listen to my friend vent about, hey man, about their bad games.
What 1-3? You could have still ended 6-3 and gotten CP, man.
I thought about that just now too. I was like, wait a second, 1-3 isn't actually
once
all
you
that
get
bad.
Four losses, yeah, you can kind of drop.
Yeah,
you
can go.
I kind of get it. Once you get that fourth one, fine, you're not getting CP.
There's got to be a decent equation out there somehow, somewhere. About like if winning early or losing early is actually good or bad for you.
No idea. It's definitely better to win to lose later though.
That's fair. Like because you're losing against other people who are like 6-0, 6-1.
Yeah, in theory, better people. So I guess if you can go 5-0, and then
if you have a choice,
I mean, yeah, to lose. That's fine. Or was it 7? If you can go 7-0, you are allowed to lose your next two games and be okay. If you go 6-0, you're probably allowed to lose your next three games and be okay. Just because that's the way that math works.
But if you go 7-0, might as well try for 8-0, you know?
I'm not saying don't try. I'm just saying you got some buffer.
Yeah.
Like it was I played the Malamar Cup. Oh, I can't spoil it because you guys didn't see it yet. Never mind. Never mind. My goal wasn't to win the set. My goal was to win one game because that would make the difference with me.
Matthew says meeting Kevin and tapping him on the shoulder to say hi. Also, Mike, you have a great voiceover voice. Thank you. I'm definitely not choosing to read this one because they're buttering me up. You should definitely pursue this. You could be the next ball guy.
Not holding back. back.
You could be great ball guy.
I could be great ball guy. That would be such a good Halloween costume. What?
Yes. Mike the great ball guy.
Not holding back.
Not holding back. Yeah.
Yeah. Feel free to tap me on the shoulder as much as you want, everybody. Question is, can you find my shoulder?
No. What?
Good luck. Good luck.
Can you find your shoulder?
Yeah. From like, I'm assuming if you're tapping me on the shoulder, you're not standing face to face with me. So you got to know me from the back of my head. How many people have seen the back of my head? Should I give a representation?
No, don't.
Okay.
Nick says, I have not yet participated in one, but I would say the battles you can learn from everyone and get better. Yes. You can absolutely learn from every single battle that you do. And more so, I would hazard a statement that the games that you lose or win in person in a regionals or in internationals are probably the hardest hitting ones that you'll ever have.
Yes, because you care about them a lot more.
Yeah.
And also best of three. Still, it's one of the best places to get best of three practice since that's just really hard to do nowadays.
Yeah. It's true. Here we go. Luca says, I love the fact that it's not closed team sheet at a Pokemon tournament. The camaraderie between friends and competitors is amazing. Meeting new people and learning new strategies is so fun. Love comps.
Mm-hmm. And now you could also just like share your team and not worry about it anymore. Because before, I think back in like when we went to NAIC last year, there was always that in between round thing where, you know, you just talk about what happened in the game. But back in the day, it's like, do you really want to mention what happened in that game to people that might be your opponent next round? Like,
right.
It's always that little bit of awkwardness or to people that might face people that you've played and having that information leaked. It's like, eh. But now you're just like, screw it. Team sheet's open anyway. They know everything. So what's the point?
There you go.
Why hide it?
And then last one, Harry says, having 18 hours worth of high level VGC to watch every time TPCI streams an event.
That's fair. Yeah.
So for those who don't actively go to these tournaments, either you feel it's not worth your time or you feel like or you just don't have the time to do it. Watching the content that comes out of it, absolutely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
What's tough is that all the like content creators who go out and, you know, participate in it, we're all participating in it. So we can't go and make the content ourselves. But hopefully in one of these, we'll be able to, you know, do something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody kind of wants to. We had a moment with Moxie, right?
Yeah.
Where he wanted to and we were down. Mm. We were absolutely going to go and meet up, but
stuck it's still just, playing. Yeah.
We were stuck.
Yeah. We're at the point where we're just like, we could drop now and go record something with Moxie, or we could stick around and finish our rounds because we were both in contention for CP and day two.
Yeah.
When he asked us. So it's like, this is awkward. Maybe someday it'll happen.
Someday. Or you end up being like, what was that? Freeze AI?
Mm-hmm.
Freeze AI?
Yeah.
Who just, you know, casually wins a lot of it.
just be great.
Yeah, just be amazing.
That's all you got to do. Easy peasy.
Yeah. All right. That's that. Kevin.
Hello.
Should we end off the episode?
Stats. With
a little bit of stats.
Always.
Well, once a month.
Yes. Also, once congratulations to Joaquin Salerno for winning São Paulo Regionals.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have team information for São Paulo, but we know that Joaquin won. So good job.
Woo! All right. Let's get moving into these analytics. These analytics, of course, are brought to us by Peakalytics, your one-stop shop for mom and pop. But don't bring your dad here. This is no place for dads.
What is happening? You say I'm out of control today? What was that sentence?
Some people know. All right. So Peakalytics, of course, amalgamates all the data from the previous month, we have the previous month of usage stats. We get to see what people were bringing in April. And of course, unsurprisingly, the number one Pokemon that people were bringing, drumroll please. Oh, I was about to do it like physically, and then I realized I have a soundboard for that. It's Flutterman.
No way! Of course, it's Flutterman. 67.8%.
67.8%.
You know what's crazy? Of course.
Yes. What?
Palance isn't the first five. So it has changed from last month.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's different now, but kinda. Flutterman is sitting at 67%. Amoongus is sitting at 40.05%. This is the first time in, like, I've got to say 3 years where I can't just be like, Amoongus factor. That's it.
No, second month now, baby. This is not Amoongus factor.
This is anymore. Like, oh no, did it actually become meta?
Are we here now?
Oh no.
Yes.
It used to be the thing that people brought when they didn't know what to bring, but now it just became the thing to bring.
I will say this, a big reason why Amoongus is so popular and so used right now is because every other grass type in this game kind of just bad. Like,
I mean, kind
of. Yeah. The only other one that's like kind of good is like Brute Bonnet, I think.
I don't think Brute Bonnet is that great.
You know what's sad?
I know you want it to be so good.
Listen. I'm not saying it's great. I'm saying it's good in terms of grass types, because if we scroll down this list currently,
yeah,
we have Amoongus at 40%. The next one is Wochen at 7%. Mm-hmm. And then the next one after that is Abomasnow.
Yeah, that's pretty far. And then we don't see another grass type and then for Bonnet a long time until Bonnet sitting at 3.57. Yeah, that's very true. Grass types are just not sitting in a very good spot right now. But there are a lot of grass Terras.
Maybe that's part of the reason. The grass is just such a great defensive typing that, like, why would you have it on your team as a defensive Pokemon when you can just turn into one?
Right. So, of course, Amoongus sitting at number two with 40.05. Do your homework. Figure out what Amoongus does. We've said it multiple times. Ting Lu is sitting at number three with 34.78. Most people right now are not bringing Fissure on their Ting Lus anymore. Good.
Thank goodness.
It's not happening anymore.
Kind of a meme. Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy Slam is coming in at 79%. Most people are using Heavy Slam, Stomping Tantrum, Ruination, and Earthquake. Well, of course it is.
I'm surprised that's more used than like Stomping Tantrum, though. Because I feel like Stomping Tantrum is like a, should be like a 99% one, you know? Most used has to be there.
Well, I think the main thing is you have a Pokemon that can OKO a Flutterman.
And won't die to it. Yeah, that's fair enough. It also nerfs the Flutterman's special attack damage. Hey, did you notice that the almost all the Ruinous Legends are in a line except for one?
That's fair. Oh, no. Coming in at number four, we have Chi Yu sitting at 29.82% with Heat Wave, Dark Pulse, Protect, and Overheat being your main sources of attacks on your team, Chi Yu.
Choice Scarf.
The main thing is, of course, Beads of Ruin, which enhances your Fluttermane, which you're obviously bringing on your team. But also that you have the Choice Scarf, so that not only do you have the Fluttermane doing the extra damage, but you also have the ability to go before it.
The meaningful thing with that specifically is being able to deal with Dragonite multi-scale. You're able to crack the multi-scale with the Chi Yu before actually hitting it with a super effective fairy type move.
Wait a minute, but what if you have Choice Banded Aqua Jet?
Oh.
Do we figure it out?
It's for Chi Yu.
It's for Chi Yu.
Because Chi Yu is also paper.
Yeah. Wait a second. So if I go here and I type in Aqua Jet. Yeah, there it is. An item is Choice Band. And it's Adamant. 84.6% damage.
Okay.
No. Guaranteed to hit.
Okay. So Aqua Jet still sucks.
Aqua Jet still sucks.
Nick, what's going on, man? Let us know.
I need to know.
Who is this for? It's for Colossal, clearly.
Oh, yeah, of course. why didn't I think of that? Colossal was in front of me the whole time. Yeah, I guess you have to bring Dragonite plus another priority mon. And then Chiyu goes down.
Yeah. Exciting times.
Exciting times. Coming in at number five, that's Chen Pao, sitting at 29.71. That's only a 0.11% difference.
You got one or the other. Between Chen Pao and
Chiyu. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Also mainly brought for its Sword of Ruin, decreasing the defense of all the other Pokemon so that you have your other Pokemon out, like Dragonite, Dragonite. Okay, wait, Dragonite, Aqua Jet plus Sword of Ruin. Yeah, that's a 68.8% chance to Oko, baby.
We did it. We found it.
We found the Oko. But what if you just go for an extreme speed?
Same thing, I think.
It's the exact same thing, right? Yeah, yeah. It is.
I'm gonna ruin it a little bit more. Nick Navarre did not have a Chen Pao on his team.
So what is it for?
We're back to where we started.
What is it for?
It's for the Icy Wind plus Aqua Jet combination.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. Most Chen Pao's are bringing Ice Spinner, Protect, Sucker Punch, and Sacred Sword with very little variance. Like, very, very little
variance. Those are the best moves.
Yeah.
Docker.
Yeah. Like, you are not bringing Haze on this Pokemon. There's a 1 in 3 chance that you're bringing Haze on Chen Pao.
Dondozo is not as much of a threat as it used to be.
Right.
Still a threat. Not, like, incredible, though.
Coming in at number six is the, what's this, fourth member of the Palance team, being Arcanine. Hello, with Arcanine. Flare Blitz, Will-O-Wisp, Extreme Speed, and Protect.
This Pokemon will go away once Incineroar is here, don't worry.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This will get replaced real quick.
This thing is not sticking around. This thing is here as a placeholder.
But it is the best one that we have so far. Mm-hmm. Arguments can be made for Gyarados.
I will say most people are bringing safety goggles.
Oh yeah.
Gyarados, the Arcanine replacement, isn't really seeing too much play until further down the list. Gyarados is sitting right now at number 11. With Waterfall, Thunderwave, Taunt, and Protect.
Misses.
But I will say Taunt goes hard with Gyarados. Yeah.
Do you want to know the other cool thing about Gyarados? Is the Thunderwave plus Waterfall combo. That's sure, a paraflinch. Yeah, that's a paraflinch. That's very strong. Really mess people up. And Gyarados is tanky. You can build it very tanky.
People were in harsh unison that Waterfall is the move that you need to bring on Gyarados. That's 99.261% usage. Great.
Listen,
nothing has that.
We don't have too many good water moves in the game anymore. So having one that is 100% accurate and can also flinch, we go with that one.
Right. Sitting under Arcanine, let's go back to that. We're number seven right now. That's Dragonite. There's your Dragonite. Not far behind with Chen Pao, but still mostly going in with a Flutterman as a teammate. Your moves are Extreme Speed, Terra Blast, Protect, and Outrage. However, that fourth move is rather interchangeable with things like Low Kick, Stomping Tantrum, Earthquake, Ice Spinner, Dragon Claw, even Dragon Dance sometimes.
Dude, Dragonite gets so many moves. It's crazy how many moves this gets. And for a Gen 1 Pokemon to have base 134 attack is really strong. That thing is almost matching attack with Chen Pao in terms of damage. That paired next to a Choice Band, Lumberry, Assault Vest. There's so many options. It's such versatile Pokemon. You look at Dragonite, you can either go with like Normal Terra, Extreme Speed, Choice Band, just do a bajillion damage, or you can just go Lumberry with Terra Blast and Flying Terra and still do a bajillion damage. I've seen both do very well, and honestly, I can't sit here and tell you which is better. It's literally preference.
Right.
No matter what, though, you need Extreme Speed on this Pokemon. That move is too good.
It's so versatile. How versatile is it? That Multiscale and and Inner Focus are an actual choice.
Yeah. Do you want to not get intimidated, or do you want to live a Fluttermane Moonblast?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That is, it's a Pokemon. It's absolutely a Pokemon. Moving on to Iron Bundle, sitting at number 8, 25.43%. Freeze Dry, Protect, Hydro Pump, and Icy Wind are the moves that you're almost always using ever forever.
Yes, the only time you're ever running Blizzard is if you're next to an Embalm Snow, but
right,
that's pretty much it.
Right.
Encore's fun. You can cheese something.
Encore is fun.
But, yeah.
There was a time where people were experimenting with not bringing Hydro Pump and instead bringing Encore or Blizzard or something like that, but it is just not as good as a Hydro Pump is.
And then they introduced Chiyu and Arcanine into the game. And yeah. You're like, wait, I need a water type. What do I do now?
I know it has a big chance to miss. I don't care anymore. I just want to use it. I need this Pokemon gone.
You know how you can never miss a water pump, a Hydro Pump?
Yeah.
It's at pokesports.org/merch. Just got to wear that shirt, man. The never miss bundle.
Just never miss. Exactly. All right. We've got Palafin sitting at number 10. Obviously, we have to have the fifth member of Palance sitting in number 10. However,
it's number 9.
The namesake is actually at the bottom of the 10, but yeah, whatever. But yeah, half of the top 10 is Palance. Palafin with Jet Punch, Wave Crash, Protected Haze with, again, very little variance. Like Jet Punch, Wave Crash and Protect all have above 96% usage.
Mm. And wow, like, look at those items. Using that.
Oh yeah.
Mystic Water 91%.
Mystic Water all the time. Safety goggles, barely. Choice Band for the meme. Clear Amulet, because you wanna.
It's a good Pokemon. Does damage.
I don't like it anymore.
You don't like Palafin anymore?
No, it used to be my favorite. Now it's not my favorite anymore. No,
everyone
anymore.
Is using it.
It's, yeah, I mean, not only is everyone using it, but everyone's better at me with it.
It's what like, are I don't you bringing to Hartford, Mike?
Don't ask me that question. I don't know.
You're like less than a week away almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. I can tell you what I'm bringing. I'm probably bringing Trick Room again.
Don't do it, Kevin.
I'm doing it. It's too bad.
Why? Why would you do that?
It's the only thing I'm consistently good with.
You had a very bad time with it.
I went 63 every single time.
Yeah. You went very well. Yeah.
I'm one game away, man.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Is every time you end up 6-3, I hear about the big losses. And they're like big losses that make you question Trick Room in its entirety.
Mm-hmm. I'm not running hard Trick Room. I will say that. It is not fully hard Trick Room. It does have a fast mode. Without going into too much detail. So that's fine. Yeah.
Woo!
Kevin!
Yeah. Rather than just cut off the applause, I figured I might as well just end it with a P, you know?
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. We're out of content.
Iron Hands is number 10.
Yeah, Iron Hands is 11.
No, it's not.
That's 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Iron Hands is number 10.
I'm gonna ruin Mike's time for a second. If you click the Pokemon and look at the top right, it says monthly rank.
Oh, I don't have it open up that far. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, with your double wide monitor, you don't have it open up that far.
You know, on it. Okay. Quick sidebar. Having a double wide monitor is almost like the curse of abundance. I don't know where to put things.
Listen, I think that's why it would drive me insane. At least I can partition my mind with different monitors. It's like, okay, there's an obvious division here.
Because, like, do I put it all the way over there? I can look all the way over there. For people who are watching the video podcast over on Patreon, patreon.com/pokesports, or on YouTube, youtube.com/pokesports, and you're seeing how far to the side I am looking, this is where I could go. Or I could go over this way. And, like, I just dragged the window over to the other side of the screen. That's all I did.
So I've never had an ultra-wide monitor. When you open it up, we're having a mini preach here at the end. Yeah. But when you open it up, does it just automatically just take up the whole screen, or does it have the window in like an actual window size?
It's like, is it going to be,
so it's going to be Google in the middle with just a bunch of white when you open my window?
That's my current display resolution is 5120 by 1440.
5120 by, that's a lot. That's a lot of pixels.
It's a lot.
That's almost four times as wide as it is tall.
It's a lot of pixels.
It's almost like it's an ultra wide.
Wow.
Wow.
We've done it. No Iron way. Hands is your Pokemon number 10. With Drain Punch, Fake Out, Wild Charge, and Volt Switch. Volt Switch is interchangeable with things like Swords Dance, Thunder Punch, Detect, Close Combat, Protect, Heavy Slam, Belly Drum, Ice Punch. This Pokemon gets a lot of moves.
Oh, yeah. Gets a lot of moves. And honestly, if this Pokemon got Wide Guard, I'd have no reason to use Hariyama. Uh-oh, I spoiled
I don't think
something.
You do have a use of for bringing Hariyama.
Do I? Or don't I? I am bringing Hariyama. I like it. It's good. It hurts more.
I want to see it win one thing.
You're welcome. I'll do it.
I, you know what? If you can do that for me, I will be incredibly happy. Yeah. All right. At this now we're out of content, right?
I think so. Maybe.
Cool.
Possibly.
Possibly. Thank you so much for listening to PokeSports for the week. It's been, as usual, an absolute pleasure to do this podcast for you, the listener, the viewer, the connoisseur of VGC content, the finest of tastes do you have.
What
to be
happening?
Listening to us and watching us. The as finest, we speak about Pokemon.
The finest of taste do you have is a word, a sentence that came out of Michael's mouth.
The finest of tastes do you have, yes.
May the fourth be with you.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah.